You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Skidding on the icy road, a van crashed through the guardrail and plunged into a river in the northeastern part of the United States. 50 minutes later, the driver was pulled from the submerged vehicle out of the icy water and taken to a hospital. He arrived dead, if you consider dead to be no heartbeat, no pulse, no responses, and body temperature of 73 degrees. Yet open-heart surgery was performed. The cardiac pulmonary machine drew blood from the heart, oxygenized that blood, warmed it to normal body temperature, and then returned it to the other side of the heart. Within 30 minutes, the heart was beating on its own, and body temperature returned to normal. The man is alive. If it is difficult sometimes to determine whether someone is physically or even medically alive, you can imagine how difficult it is to determine the existence of spiritual life by measuring spiritual temperature, using the various guidelines people have for determining something like that. What is life, anyway, when you're talking about something more than mere physical existence? Jesus Christ answered that question himself in his high priestly prayer to God, recorded in John chapter 17. Said Jesus, "This is life that is eternal, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." There are people who think they're alive because they can ride through town in a luxury chauffeur-driven car. Onlookers remark, "Now that's living." A family moves into a mansion in the suburbs, enjoying all the comforts and conveniences money can buy after scraping for years in order to make all of this possible. People might say, "That's living." People relax in the sun at the beach, far removed from all cares and responsibilities. Their bodies drink up the rays of the sun, and their only concern is where they're going to eat dinner that evening. The casual observer may easily think, "That's living." People make the same mistakes about themselves as others do who observe their way of life. Some great factor must have been missed somewhere in the judgments people make about life, especially when what is often called living turns out to be a kind of walking death, leaving people feeling empty, unsatisfied, unfulfilled, and even desperate to the point of thinking about taking their own lives. There must be more to life than breathing, eating, working, playing, trying to get ahead, putting other people down while you're playing yourself up, and waiting for the day that you yourself, not to speak about other people, discover how meaningless all that stuff really is. There must be more to life than what you can see and touch, even though people everywhere live their lives as if the only thing real is what you can see and touch. You can see your body. You can hear your voice. Is that all there is? Millions of people live as if only that is real. Jesus Christ, of whom John said that he knew what is in man, saw immediately that there's something more important. He touched the spirit of humanity. He never claimed that what you see and touch is unreal or unimportant. Indeed, he's the creator of what you see and touch. Still, what poverty of life there must be when people see only that as real. Jesus Christ recognized the spirit as the greatest reality of all. If the spirit has gone wrong, everything has gone wrong. If the spirit of humanity is unrecognized, humanity itself is impoverished to the point of self-destruction. It is the spirit of humanity that must be renewed and made alive again, as it once was made alive when the Lord God himself breathed his spirit into the soul of man. The spirit of God breathes today in the word of God. with the power of God behind it to renew the spirit of people in such a way as to make them truly alive in body and soul and spirit. He does that by way of a shattering happening in human history, the cross of Jesus Christ. There the Son of God died for the sins of the world. People look at that scene and turn away, impressed only by what they think they can do to save themselves, touched only by the abundance of things they can put together in a lifetime. They grope around, searching for religion that will satisfy, which most often turns out to be a religion of things to do and not to do, judged by a standard they themselves set up. They may be very religious, pursuing goals of their own making and finding little comfort in their pursuit. The fact of the matter is that most of the religion of the world kills instead of making alive. What we're talking about today is not religion, but faith in God, disclosed to the world by God Himself in His Son, Jesus Christ. It is not a religion of works, but of faith. Faith does not downgrade works, but it puts works in their place. Works are good, but not good enough to save anybody. People are saved by faith in the God who redeems and forgives life and makes it truly alive. That life is in His Son. The Son said it, and the Spirit of God says it today in the Word of God. This is eternal life, to know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. Here is life that can truly be called eternal, because it comes from the eternal God who made the world and all that is therein. He passes judgment on a world that wanders away from Him and even takes pride in its foolishness. He atones for the sins of the world in that Son whom He sent, even Jesus Christ. He forgives people out of the goodness of His heart without any merit or worthiness in us. He turns life around and makes it alive again, all through faith in Jesus Christ, whom He has sent. He produces a new kind of life, where good works become a humble way of service, out of love for God and for Jesus Christ, whom God has sent. That may be too much for human pride to take, but not too much for the grace of God to give, with love undeserved. Jesus Himself puts the whole thing in a few words. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. Believing and life go together like body and soul. They are the stuff of life, a life that does not depend purely upon what you can see and touch. The things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Eternal life begins here and now, though it is fulfilled in all its glory there and then. This is eternal life, said Jesus, to know You, the only true God. That's Jesus talking. He knows what He's talking about. He died to make people alive. He died that the sins of the past might be forgiven. He rose from the dead so that people might be made alive. Knowing God, said Jesus, makes all the difference in the world. Knowing God is knowing His promises and taking them to heart. People learn to know God in the Bible, the Word of God. The great facts about God are all there. How He deals with people who disobey. How He cares for those who do obey Him. What He expects of people who obey Him, rather than going around bragging about themselves. In His Word, God speaks to the personal needs of people. He tells them how much He cares, the lengths to which He will go in order to save them, and the stream of His mercy that flows from His heart into the hearts of rebellious people who ought to be His children. In His Word, God calls to people everywhere to believe Him, rather than turning away from Him in pursuit of something called life, which without God always turns to be something like a green persimmon. Knowing God is not something you do. It's something that happens to you by the power of God's Holy Spirit through that Word of God which tells you about God and about Jesus whom He has sent. More than that, the Word of God speaks to your heart, turning it into a heart of flesh instead of a heart of stone, All of you stone-hearted people, no matter how religious or non-religious you may have been, listen to the Word of God. Listening to the Word of God, you come to know you are God's child. God loves you and forgives you for the sake of His Son who died for you. God is your Father, and He wants you to be like Jesus, His Son. He wants you to change. He will give you the courage to change. He will empower you to do what He wants you to do. God is in control. God is love. God wants for you what is good for you. He wants to give good things to you. He offers you every spiritual gift you need. You can draw on the account He set up for you in the atonement of His Son. Even in the darkest room, you walk toward the light. You can see well, even though you have cataracts. Turn your back and walk away from that light, and your own shadow darkens the way. Concentrate on yourself, and you discover problems, failures, and pains that only make life gloomy and fearful. Concentrate on God, and His promises bring good cheer, hope, confidence, and a new warmth that overcomes icy cold blasts of pride and self-interest that do nothing but chill the world. This is eternal life, to know God, to discern His presence. Not only in human history, but in your own personal life, God promises to be with His people. He promises to be with you always, and so does Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus says, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth, and remember, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. In Jesus, the God of the galaxies is with you. He is near. He knows. He sees. He forgives you, and He gives you life. It's a tremendous comfort to people to know that the Lord is with them. Human suffering is always due to come because we are human. But God is with you. If you know Him at all, at least well enough to confess your sins to Him, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Knowing God, you can talk to Him. Prayer is desiring God and seeking to do His will as you come to know Jesus Christ, whom He has sent. It is both asking and receiving. Prayer is the opening of God to a closed life. Cast your cares upon Him, and you find He cares not only about you, but for you. Prayer doesn't make you weak-kneed or spineless, quite the opposite. It makes you wise, strong, and able not only to cope, but also to conquer. In effect, prayer to God always says, all I am and have are gifts from a gracious God. Jesus is alive. When I look at Him, I see God. He's always with me. I'm never alone. I shall live to please Him. He shares my joys and my sorrows. He comforts and strengthens me. Prayer invites God, as God invites you, all the time with His gracious and saving word, which finally is Christ Jesus Himself. This is eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Knowing God helps you to ask the right questions for a change. In the comic strip Peanuts, Charlie Brown is talking one day to his good friend Lucy about the meaning of life. Lucy asks, do you think life has any meaning? Charlie stammers, Lucy interrupted, I mean, do you think life has any meaning after you failed 9 spelling tests and your teacher hates you? Charlie calmly replies, well, that's a different question. Knowing God brings you to asking the right questions and receiving the right answers. God does not promise to answer every question you have. People who have the answer to every question are automatically wrong. But God does promise to answer the crucial questions about the meaning of life. He answers them in His Son, Jesus Christ. Here you have it. God's answer to what life really is all about. This is eternal life. To know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Jesus answers even the greatest question about life, which is death. Death is more than the lack of a heartbeat, more than the lack of brain waves. In its deepest biblical sense, death is trying to live apart from God. It is shutting God out of one's life. It is saying, I want to live my life my way. Life in the biblical sense is more than physical or biological existence. It's more than eating and sleeping, working and playing, digesting food and eliminating waste matter. It's more than growing and reproducing. When the Bible talks about life, it is eternal, given by God here and fulfilled by God there. It is knowing God, trusting God, and following God, as anyone can learn to know, trust, and follow Him with faith in Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Knowing God brings peace, which passes understanding. In the engine of a car, the pistons move furiously, yet the car purrs along smoothly. There may be intense and even furious activity in your life, but with peace in your heart, you can continue to function with serenity of mind and spirit that comes from God Himself. Being justified by faith in Jesus Christ, we have peace with God and are able to bring peace to a warring world. Knowing God and Jesus Christ, whom He has sent, is the promise of power. God still uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. With the good news of Jesus Christ, whom God has sent, the Spirit of God taps the reservoir of God's power and channels it into hearts of ordinary people like ourselves. The same power that runs the universe charges the hearts of people with the power of the gospel that is in Jesus Christ. That power harnesses the very thoughts of people and releases through those people the power of God and the warmth of His true love doing His work in the world, if true. This must be the most exciting good news the world has ever heard. It is true. If Jesus Christ Himself is true, then this word is true. This is eternal life, to know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. Amen.